How many of you got every class that you wanted? Let me see your hands up high. How many of you got every class when you wanted it? Not many. How do you choose when you want classes? How many ran for the first hour class? Anybody at all? You're weird, man. You're weird. How many chose the class just because a certain young man or some certain young lady were also in that class at that same time? You don't know which one it is, but you're going after it, right? Oh, that is great. Well, last night, let's do our first pop quiz for your calendar year. You ready? Pop quiz. Instead of writing it down, you turn to the person next to you and tell them. Last night, I preached on the fear of the Lord. I talked about respect His holiness by what two things? Turn to the person next to you and tell them. Okay. How many got it right? Let me see your hands. Hate what he hates and love what he loves. Very good. Second part. Turn to the person next to you and explain the second part of the definition of the fear of the Lord. A wholesome dread of displeasing the Lord, okay? Now, if you got them both right, you'll probably get an A this year in all your classes. If you got them both wrong, you'll probably be looking for another school real quickly, okay? But I am certainly thankful to be with you. You guys, I hope you understand that you have an incredible, special, special privilege. You really do. You know what you get to do for this coming year? You get to get up in the morning and go to classes to learn more and more about your wonderful God. You get to sit under folks' feet that literally have given their lives to study the Word of God to be explained it well to you. And these years should be so foundational. It's going to make you better moms. It's going to make you better dads. It's going to make you better church members, better pastors, better missionaries. Yeah, because you understand the Word of God. God's Word and spiritual maturity. Now, once you get to college, as you know, it's only been, what, months ago, some of you were just getting out of high school. How many of you graduated high school last year? Let me see your hands high. All right, real high so I can see where they are, okay? Very good. So you were seniors. All the freshmen, raise your hand. Freshmen for this year, let me see. That's some of the same, but we got some others here, okay? Very good, okay? What is maturity? In the high school world, and of course you know I'm a camp director, and so therefore I live around teenagers. And it's nothing to walk through our courtyard at our camp and hear four or five girls talking about four or five boys, because that is usually what they're talking about, and simply say something, oh, he is like so immature. And some of you girls have already said it about some of the guys in this room right now. God's Word and spiritual maturity. How do you learn to be mature? Well, we're going to dig into the Word of God tonight in a way that I trust will be like incredibly uncomfortable for every single one of us. You have a cell phone? Everybody have a cell phone? Let me see your hands. You got your own iPod? iPad? Chia Pet? Okay. We have all, and what does God's Word say about your cell phone and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat? It's the world you live in, okay? And some of you say, well, it's not the world I live in. It's the world that the kids and the people you're going to serve someday live in. It is our world. And so often we say, wow, it's just like all brand new and we don't know what to do. There's nothing new under the sun, really. I mean, you think about it. When Moses got the Ten Commandments, what were they written on? A tablet. And where was all the information kept? In the cloud! It's been around forever. There's nothing new, okay? Wow. And if I'm not mistaken, there were apples in the Garden of Eden. So I'm serious. This is bad. It really is. So what does God say? I want you to reverently say this passage together with me. Ready? All Scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture, this entire book, what you're coming to learn in these next couple years in a Bible college, is given by inspiration of God. And inspiration of God simply means what? Say it so I can hear it. What does God breathe mean? Inspiration. God breathes, okay? Can I treat you like junior high for just a second? Take your hand, please, and put it in front of your mouth, and repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Okay. Did you smell that? Okay. You cannot speak without breathing out. God spoke. He breathed out these words. And everything he gave us in his word is profitable for doctrine, teaching us what is right. For reproof, teaching us what is wrong. For correction, teaching us how to make the wrong right. And instruction in righteousness, teaching how to keep it right. Why? That the man of God, the woman of God, might be mature. Sometime this year, you're probably going to want to take a classmate or even a roommate's head in your hands and say, will you please grow up? You probably have little brothers and sisters that you wish you could ask them to grow up. And in a way, what God is saying to you guys in this special, unbelievable situation that this season of life affords you, will you please, please grow up? And every single one of you can mature and grow. I promise you. Completely furnished, given everything that God wants you to have for good works. So, with this in mind, we're going to take this verse apart tonight. Say it with me. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You are college students, okay? And as college students, in some ways, you can't win. Because you're young, but you're not that young, but you're not old, especially as old as some of these people on the edges. I mean, so what do you do? And really, and as a college student, sometimes you feel like, Rand, I can't win. Because those older than me look down and say, what do you know? What can you offer? When I personally believe you have a ton to offer. But even those who are younger than you, if you're left at home to babysit your brother and sister, the second mom and dad leave the driveway, you know, they're saying, you're not the boss of me. You know, you're not old, you're not young, so you're right in that middle stage. God had Paul write this down for us. Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young. Within just a few years, some of you guys want to be pastors, right? You say, what do I do as a 24-year-old pastor? You don't allow anyone to look down on you just because you're young. The word despise does not mean hate. It means to look down upon, to treat as nothing. So don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Which, by the way, includes your roommates. And if you find yourself looking down upon roommates, classmates, anyone in the school, don't let that happen. What do you do instead? Be an example for all believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So as we open this up, be an example in our digital world. The high-tech world. Have you watched some of your older teachers text? You know? And then spell check really gets them in trouble, as you know. How can you be an example? You know why most grandparents need grandkids around? Just to teach them how to take care of their computers, you know? It's just part of life. So you guys, because you grew up in this world, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for all believers in words, speech, and what you say. I'm talking about how do you communicate or talk with others in our digital world? More specifically, cell phone holics and text monsters. Now, it is part of life. And I don't know your rules here at your college, but some of you will literally go withdrawal and you'll be detoxing and your leg will vibrate because you think that your phone is going off when it's in your room. And because we live on these phones, you know we do. You constantly just got to see if, you know, someone took a selfie of themselves sneezing or something, you know. It's just the world we live in. So what does God say about cell phones and texting? Ready? Would you say this verse with me? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So when you become a parent and your 13-year-old son or daughter comes to you and says, please, please, Mom, Dad, can I have a cell phone? What are you going to say? No, I heard you say it. How do you deal with this? How do you teach them John 15 to live in the world but not be of the world? Are they going to have a cell phone someday? I'd rather my kids have one when I'm with them so I can teach them to use it biblically. So know how to handle it in a Christ-like way. So, when you, for your own personal life, and for those that you'll serve someday, kids in your youth group, you take some time and you dig into Romans 12. You study it to where you understand the purpose for what it was written, to whom it was written, you read the context, you understand. And then as you compare its context with the world that we live in today, you will be amazed at how relevant the Word of God is. Ken Ham's book, Barna Statistics, as we all know, 60% of all those who are graduating from our high schools and colleges, when they leave home, they leave God. Statistically, over half of you will not continue living for God after you get out of college. That's sad. Doesn't have to be. And I would assume and pray that a school like this, that we would mess up their statistics really, really good, okay? One of the reasons is they say the church, God, the Bible is not relevant. It doesn't impact my life today where I am. Well, that's why tonight we're going to look closely at these passages and see how relevant it really is. First of all, let your love be real without dissimulation. Are you ignoring others or just being rude because a friend calls? If you have a phone and you're talking to somebody and looking in their eyes and all of a sudden it goes off and immediately you just ignore those people, that's rude. If you're sitting in a group of friends and you are so enamored with your own little digital world that you sit in your corner in your chair and you're just boom into your phone and you have no idea who's walking through the room. Who needs a smile? Who needs someone to talk to? Are you ignoring others? Are you loving you or are you loving others? Let your love be real. Don't pretend that you love people if you really, really don't. How about this phrase? Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Hate evil, love good. Are you careful what you talk or text about? Do you fall into gossip? Do you spread rumors? Do you complain? Do you gripe? All these things are part of life. And it used to be we'd be like really scared to do it verbally in front of our friends or our parents or whatever. But once you sit down with a phone, it is amazing how bold we become on IMs and how bold we are on Facebook. And yeah, it's kind of easy to be critical there, isn't it? Be kind and loving by preferring and honoring others. Are you conscious of those around you? Public places. There is no sacred place left on earth. Weddings, funerals, airports, airplanes. I fly a lot. And I mean, I've heard husbands fighting with their wives sitting right behind. You did not! I mean, on the phone. It's terrible, okay? And again, it's crazy in churches. I will say this, if I'm preaching and somebody's cell phone goes off, if it's a dad, here's what happens. That's it. He jerks, he takes his hand, he goes. If it's a mom, they start digging these suitcases. And then finally it goes off and, oh, okay, sets it down, they leave a message. Does it again, okay? We've all been there. We've been interrupted like that. 10-foot zone. There are times like when my wife or kids call, and I travel and I'm very, very busy, but they do have kind of a special place in my life of priorities. And so I will say, hey, I was expecting a call from my wife. If you don't mind, just give me a couple minutes. And then I'll walk about 10 feet away and I'll take the call. And please keep your phone on vibrate. I mean, when they go off, everything from rock to Bach and everything in between, you know? It just, again, there's no being kind and preferring and honoring others. Keep a zealous, intense testimony for God. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do those you talk to, do those you text, do they know that you love God more than them? Just the way you handle your phone, your communication. How could they? How would those you constantly text to or talk with know? Have you ever grabbed your phone to a little brother or sister and say, hey, how you doing? I miss you. Let me tell you what I learned from Psalm 78 today. It was so cool. Do you ever text your devotions? How many of you in here are married? Let me see your hands. Most across the back, okay, in front. Do you guys text your wife what God's teaching you? It's a habit that we need to be in. Because phones and Facebook, they can be used for good. And I was somewhere preaching up early in the morning. I was at a Starbucks and I was in the book of John. And have you ever had those times when, like, you're not just reading John, you're like there, if you know what I mean? And I grabbed my phone, I text my wife, said, hun, it was like 6:15 in the morning. I'm sitting at Starbucks, I got a latte, and the Apostle John is sitting right next to me. He's really cool. He's about 21 years of age and he's just a nice guy. I know I'm weird, okay? I got a text back from my wife. She said, oh, tell John I said hi and tell him thanks for taking care of Mary. I mean, all this kind of stuff, okay? Make it real. Do they know? Do your friends know? Do you even put a verse of scripture what God's doing on your Facebook page? Do people know that you love God with the instruments that you live by and are addicted to? Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for all believers in life, conduct, and behavior. What are we talking about here? How do you behave in public, in our digital world? And now is where we do talk about blogs and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. Would you be embarrassed if I took any of your Snapchats or Instagram, any of your media, and maybe put it up on the screen tonight, just one at a time? Just maybe the last 2 weeks, I don't know. Would it be embarrassing at all? What does God say about this kind of world? Because this is public behavior. Because once you put it out there, it's out there. If people want to find it, they easily can. Let's say this verse together. Ready? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Now, if you're around Philippians, very good. Everybody together, ready? Philippians 4:8. You know, if I'm hanging with teens and a girl has an attitude, she normally looks at me, she goes, whatever. Back in Paul's day, they said, whatsoever. Okay? A little bit different. Now, you take a verse like this, you start digging in, and this is where it's relevant, it's real, it works. Whatsoever things are true. Have you lied online? Have you exaggerated? Have you said something that was not true? Have you kind of just changed the truth a little bit? Have you spread gossip? Have you spread rumors? Lying lips are still an abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are His delight. You're of your father, the devil, when you lie. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Satan is a liar. And at whatever point we try to say that we are something that we're not to make people think better of us, that's a lie. Have you lied online? Whatsoever things are honorable, have you dishonored your parents or God? When you're frustrated, it's pretty easy to grab your phone and complain to your friends how unreasonable mom and dad are. They don't understand. They're always on my case and, come on, I'm 20, I'm out of high school, and they're demanding when I'm home, and, wow, it's not easy, is it, sometimes? Have you dishonored God? Just by putting some of your favorites that I promise if you look into those favorites, whether it be TV or movies or books are not God's favorites. Whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just. Have you been fair to your friends by talking to them before talking to others? When you hear a rumor, when you hear gossip, do you start to did you hear? Or do you go to the person and say, well, I don't think this is true, but let me clear it up for you. And when you're not just and when you're not fair, the number one sin hated amongst teenagers is gossip. Rumors. I dealt with one situation, Christian school, guy, new student, I think he was a junior, good looking guy, good athlete, but he was really a godly boy. Obviously when he came into school, like most Christian schools, there was that circle of girls that thought they were more beautiful than everybody else and super popular ones and all, and so they knew he'd like them, but he didn't because they had no heart for God. But there was another girl who wasn't really popular, but she really loved the Lord. So these other girls get so mad, they figure they're going to spread a little lie. Went on Facebook and said they knew that these two were sleeping together. Obviously, they're drawn into the principal's office, parents brought in. The kids had never even been in a room alone together. Now, the truth came out. But by then, obviously, testimonies are heard. Have you been fair to others by talking to them before talking to others? Whatsoever things are pure? Have you involved yourself in impure conversations? A few years ago, I spoke in 7 of our Christian colleges the same year. I'm an adjunct professor at 2 of them. I have a special privilege in my job to be able to be with college kids. And I almost want to beg administration to insist that phones are turned off at 11 o'clock. You say, but we use it for an alarm. I will go to Walmart and buy you an alarm, okay? They make them that you push a little button, okay? Come on. You're at the point of life where, yeah, your hormones, you're looking for a wife, a husband. It's not an easy time, be honest. Then all of a sudden, you start doing the texting, and it's unassuming, and it's easy to talk dirty on your phone. You start mentioning body parts, and have you involved yourself in impure conversations? I can't even tell you the times I've had to deal with kids who got involved in the sexting. And girls, if a guy ever, just to lead you on or threatens you a breakup with you or whatever, asks you to take a picture of a body part and send it, I'll tell you what happens. They do it. And then they get mad at each other and they break up. And because he's ticked, he sends those pictures to a couple others. And then you feel like dying. By the way, guys, if you're ever involved in that kind of thing, do you understand what goes on there? You take a picture like that and you send it to somebody, if it just happens to be caught or a sting operation, you will be arrested for trafficking pornography and you will be listed as a sex offender the rest of your life. Now let's try to find a youth pastor position. And we know the temptations are out there. Come on. Gotta be honest about the gravity of our own depravity. But when you allow yourself to be involved in impure conversations, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if you've been ugly and unkind to your friends or the people that are helping you be in school, commendable if you kept a positive approach to life, excellent if you lost your spirit of excellence by giving into sin, praiseworthy God if you please God in what you say. Even a verse like Philippians 4:8, which normally we can use it for thought life and nothing else, it is a perfect verse, perfect for a cell phone. When parents ask me, Rand, what do I do about my kids? I say, you do this. When your daughter comes to you and says, Dad, can I have a cell phone? Maybe. What? Yeah, maybe. But here's what we'll do. We're going to both take 1 month, and we're going to take Philippians 4:8, and we're going to study every word. I want you to go to youth pastor. I'll buy you a commentary if you want. I want you to study it. I want you to write a 4-page paper on Philippians 4:8. We're going to study it, and then I'm going to take you out, We're going to go to Starbucks, we're going to get a latte, and we're going to talk through this. And we're going to make a checklist. The checklist is not a checklist where mom and dad get mad because you do something wrong. The checklist we just listed. What sort of things are true? Have you lied online? Honorable. Just. Pure. And sweetheart, if you violate any of these, remember, you're sinning against God. And you and I will agree, before you ever get your cell phone, your Facebook, before you ever do any of this, if you violate any of these principles, you lose your phone for 1 month. But remember, I'm just helping you stay close to God. You're sinning against God. Now, do you see the difference? And you can do this even if you don't even have a saved mom and dad. You can take these same kind of principles and use it for your own media. Don't let anyone look down on you just because you're young. But set an example for all believers in love in a spirit of genuine concern for others rather than self. How do you deal with selfishness in our digital world? What are we going to deal with here? Uh-oh. How about music and games? iTunes addicts, Xbox junkies. Girls, how many of you want to be married someday? Let me see your hands, okay? Raise them real high. How many of you girls would love, after your marriage, they give all these gifts and presents come in, and they're all piled up, but you go on your honeymoon, and when you come back, it's almost like Christmas, and there's this big pile, and you say, oh, this is going to be so sweet, and as you start digging in, you get a new set of spoons, and you get a tablecloth, and all of a sudden, the guy opens one, and it's a brand new Xbox. Yes! Are you excited, girls? Why are you not excited? Look at you. You're mad. You are. Don't you want a guy that plays 2 or 3 hours of video games a day? I mean, come on. Don't you really love a guy that can reach like the 10th level of Halo? Isn't this a good thing? Guys, most girls want to marry someone that has like a brain. And they can communicate and talk about things they're learning. Yeah. What does God say? You say, oh, please, Rand. God has a lot to say, even about these type things. In lowliness of mind or humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own gains, things, excuse me. Don't be selfish, but every man also on the things of others. Come on! A video game can get 5 times more time than God gets, sometimes in a week. I'm not against games. I'm like a camp director, okay? We play games a lot. Games are fun. They're challenging. But I'm not talking about the kind that consume all your time. So, my question is this. Does being plugged in... Now, when I say plugged in, I think you understand what I mean. That means connected to some kind of digital media. It could be your computer, it could be your iPad, it could be a game, it could be nothing more than the iBuds, or earbuds, excuse me. But being plugged in. Does being plugged in and connected disconnect you from your family? You guys just did something that's kind of tough. How many of you left home, and this is kind of like the first time you've been away from home for like more than a weekend or a week at camp? Let me see your hands, okay? First time. Okay, number of hands. You know, there's somebody back there at home, most of your homes, that they're called moms. And I know they got a little bit weird before you leave, because they're like Klingons, you know. I remember when we dropped our daughter off, oh man, cry, wow, for months. She's 32. And I need an Anaphix, and I'll text her, you know. But you see, a mom has been a mom for like 18 years. She's pretty good at it. But some moms are such good moms, it's been their life in such a way because their husband's so busy with all his other stuff that you become their life. You actually become their little G gods. You do. You're what they think about. You're what they give their time to. You are everything to them. And all of a sudden, you're gone. That like doesn't even bother you. Because you're going to go with your friends. You're going to go hang out. And you're going to go learn. And they're sitting at home. And it's tough. The problem is, many teens begin this season of life when they're 13. Because they'd by far rather sit on their phone or in a computer than just sit around and talk. Does it disconnect you from your family? Does being plugged in or connected disconnect you from God? Number one thing I have to counsel in my world, obviously, is immorality connected with internet porn, same-sex attraction. It's just the world I have to live in to counsel. I hate it. I hate that counseling. I do. I think it's interesting. Every single guy that I have ever counseled, addicted to porn, struggling with same-sex attraction or another form of immorality, when they come to me and say, Rand, can you help me? I said, yeah, I can. I said, I can steer you in the right direction because God's word can clean you. You're clean through the word which I've given you. It really can. I can help you if you'll listen to me. But before we start, let me ask you a question. How is your devotional life? And every time, this is what they do. It's non-existent. It's not there. No man can love two masters. You either love the one, hate the other, hold to or be loyal to the one and despise or look down at the other. You can't serve two masters. You must understand when you're disconnected from God and crawl into the impurity. I'm just saying what the Bible says. You're actually saying this. If you sit down on your computer and say, next half hour, I'm going to look at stuff I shouldn't. Here's what you're saying. Hey, God, for the next half hour, I'm going to love this, and I'm going to hate you. The next half hour, I'm going to be loyal to this. And actually, to me, for at least 30 minutes, you mean absolutely nothing to me. If you want to take the Bible literal, that is what it says. Does being plugged in, connected, consume all your time for family, friends, or God? This is only a question that you can answer, okay? Dr. Andine didn't come to me and say, Rand, we got a real problem here. He didn't give me any problems. This is called our life. And if you walk through much of your teen years, then what do? You do what God tells us to do when we struggle with sin. We repent. We change the way we look at things. We put off the old. We renew our mind and put on the new. And then watch God do a special work in your life with true holiness and righteousness, okay? Finally, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for all believers in purity, integrity, and control over the desires of the flesh. How do you guard your purity in our digital world? It's tough out there, isn't it? You can't go online. You can't check a score. You can't even check the weather without being constantly confronted with this stuff. And I feel sorry for you. I personally wish we could live back in the days of Little House in the Prairie. I do. All we'd have to deal with was like Nellie's attitude, you know? But we don't live in that world. What does God say? Well, before we see that, how do you deal with your purity with your cell phone and blogs and Facebook and Snapchat and iTunes and GameSys and Instagram? There's probably 5 or 6 more that started up today. Dearly beloved, I beg you, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, please, he says, would you abstain? Would you stay away from fleshly lusts, which literally war against the soul? You guys are sitting in this room. You guys I'm talking about, you're not in Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria tonight. Could be. You could be scared every second that there's going to be a bomb dropped in your tent and you're gone. That the enemy is just around the corner in another hole behind another sandhill. See, we don't live with that mindset. Because this warfare, for many, has already been won. And you don't abstain. And you don't stay away. I've written things on this. I have messages some of you have heard on the dark side of the internet and all. I'm all for blocks. I have covenant eyes, and we have all this in our computers. I'm for every block and filter there is. But there's not enough blocks and filters out there. Because you will do what you love. You will. You will do what you love. So I'm sitting, 4 weeks ago in a Starbucks, young couple raised like you guys, great church, great families, Christian, Bible college graduates. He's addicted to porn. She finally catches him. Now she is given in to all kind of eating disorders and just wants to die. Why? Because we don't see it as war. And we give up. Are you communicating with people you do not know? It's easy to do in our world today. And these people possibly have some motives that are frightening. Are you accepting unsuitable friends that make you question your authorities or even your faith? I am concerned for you guys, obviously, that you stay pure. But what are you going to do when you're online and all of a sudden you start talking or chatting and communicating with somebody and, oh, you believe there's a hell? I bet they taught you that at home. Prove it. Take your Bible right now and prove to me there's a literal eternal hell. Come on. Allah, Buddha, God, they're all the same. We're just kind of approaching this in a little bit different way. It's okay. It really doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe something, okay? If you're sincere, you're fine. Disprove this. And you're at a place in life where you better take your studies seriously so you can give answers to those who are questioning what you truly believe. Are you becoming more and more accepting of lewd and crude language? Can't watch a current movie today without hearing trash, can you? Seriously, it's sad that, again, as a camp director living with teenagers all the time, oh, the language, the constant, oh my, and then God's name. Are you playing games that are full of nudity and crudity and graphic violence, games you have to think sin in order to win? You say, come on, Rand, it's a game. I know. I'm not doing it. It's them. Would you quote with me Psalm, I think it's 101:3. I will set no wicked. Keep going. If you're over 25, don't talk, okay? Start over again. I will set no. Keep going. I will. Okay. I want you to look at me. Because I'm going to tell you part of your problem, my problem. We don't know the Word of God. We know about it. And if you guys were honest, every single one of us in this room, at some level, struggle with these thoughts and morality. And what have we memorized? And what have we studied? Oh, we know the ones that preachers scream, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why? I hate the work of them that turn aside. It's not even me. I'm not doing it. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Why would you hate that work? One simple truth, guys, if there's someone here right now and you're like really struggling with this pornography thing, then do this. Remember that every time you look at a female, that is a soul who's going to spend somewhere for eternity. And honestly, if she's part of that world, probably hell. Like, you're getting your little thrills out of this individual that's going to burn in hell for eternity. One is a lustful man, not a lustful man. One is a thief, not a thief, Ephesians 4. Not when he quits stealing, he could be on vacation. When he's a hardworking man that labors, so he has to give and not take. He's someone who's completely different. When is a lustful man not a lustful man? When now he is so soul conscious and so concerned and loving people that they do not spend eternity separated from God, that he does not look at them as an object of lust, but he prays for them that they spend eternity with God and somehow they would be saved. Yeah. Games you have to think sin in order to win. Are you downloading any music that exalts music groups or musicians that basically love what God hates and hate what God loves? I'm not even talking about the music, okay? That's a whole nother world. That's a whole nother life to discuss. But just what they stand for. Reviewing YouTube videos are totally inappropriate. Saying yes to the constant advertisement for porn sites. Has your cell phone become a tool for a temptation? Are you struggling every day to keep your thoughts pure? I hope you understand the seriousness that the Word of God deals with these things. The consequences, whoa. I don't know if you've ever read the book. It's actually, I wouldn't even call it a book. It's a homework assignment. It's called Lest You Fall, Meditations to Fight Moral Impurity. 125 passages of scripture. Bob Jones called me press and said, would you write for us? I said, no. I did. I said, I'm a camp guy. I'm not smart. I was a plumber getting through college. I couldn't go to grad school. My GPA wasn't high enough. I'm serious. I struggled in school. I had 4 semesters of English. Oh, yuck. Are you an English teacher? Okay. Where's the English teacher? Is she here? Hi. I had 3 C minuses and a C, so I did get up to a C on one of them. You got? And then they said, well, do you have anything? I said, not really. Maybe some meditations. And that was the beginning of the writing and that booklet, and then one on anger and fear and all. But let me tell you why I wrote that book. In one fall, beginning in October until the end of November, 4 of my friends who counseled at the Wilds and graduated from Christian colleges and were already pastors and married with kids, 4 of them, all were in prison. The reason they were in prison is because they couldn't keep their stinking hands off other people's kids. Do you think that those guys in their late 20s and mid-30s woke up one morning and thought, I think I'm going to go and molest some kids. I think I'm going to throw my ministry away. I think I'm going to throw my family away. No way. It's like when they're 13 and 14, they start dabbling in this. And 15, 16, 17, they don't quit. And then 18, 19, they get off to college and have a little bit more freedom. They have a little bit more opportunity. And then they get in their 20s and they hide it from others and they hide it from their wife. And every time their flesh cries out, they say, yes, 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 until the biggie comes. They can't say no. One of them, I just heard they got another 15-year sentence on already his sentence. His kids will be almost 40 when he gets out. See, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequence of your sin. And you say, Rand, are you trying to scare us? Yeah, I am. Do you think Satan wants you at a Bible college? 2 years ago, I get a call, 5 different Bible colleges in the United States, from the West Coast to the East Coast. I get called because they have these individuals and they don't know what to do with them, and they're either thinking they're homosexual or they're thinking, they're addicted to porn. So 5 guys, and I didn't even meet any of them personally, but we talked on the phone, and I set them up on what they could do to help change their mind, renew their mind. I only got to meet one of them because the other 4 quit before I got to meet. I give them a simple, simple assignment. I said, I want you to take 6 weeks. That's all. 6 weeks, 2 hours a day. You can do them both in the morning. You can do one morning at night. I will give you what to meditate on. I will show you how to meditate. I will help you through this. None of them could make it 6 weeks. They gave up. Quit. I could watch a movie every day. Probably play a video game. But as far as transforming and renewing and changing the way they think to therefore change the way they live, that takes some brokenness. That takes some commitment. That takes loving God more than you love you. And this is not just a guy thing, as you girls know. The Word of God is relevant. He has a lot to say. 1 Corinthians 4, Romans 12, Ephesians 5, Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Peter 2. All you have is classes tomorrow. Brother Ken, let's just start over. I can take another hour, only this time let's go to Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Let's go to Ephesians 5, where God 12 times says no when it comes to moral issues. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just do it again. And we can go on and on and on. The Word of God is incredibly relevant. The reason it doesn't impact our lives is because we only know about the Word of God. And we don't know the Word of God. Allow it to change the way we think and the way we live. I promise you, all of this book, all Scripture, is God-breathed. He gave it because He wants to help you grow and you mature and you become a godly leader. He gave it so you can be a godly mom and so you can be a godly teen. He gave all this. He inspired it. And I promise you, it is so practical and profitable. Why? Because He wants us to mature. He wants you guys to be men of God. He wants you girls to be women of God. This is what God wants from us. He wants us to grow to be just like His Son, Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do? Give your life in pursuit of knowing God through this book. You take care of the depth of your life. God will take care of the breadth of your ministry. Don't you be focusing on what you can accomplish. You just take care of the depth of your life. You get your roots deep. You learn to walk with God. And then you will be amazed years from now how God will use you. The Word of God is relevant. We're sitting here tonight under incredible conviction. And all we did is look at passages of Scripture. And we tore them apart. And we saw how they literally applied to us today. You guys can do this in life. You can. Let's bow our heads in prayer.